I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of The Memo for this Monday, October 3rd, on which Derek Russell will simply just sing REM songs for you.
We had a little REM playing.
Yeah, we did before the show.
Top of the show. Before the show.
A little losing my religion.
A little bit on this Monday.
Well, I'm losing my religion today, Derek, and it's only, it's still early.
You're only an hour late to work. It's okay.
That's all. Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's all. That's Derek Russell. I'm Brad Locke.
And that's Brad Locke.
I see. I'm not the only one who got freshly shorn over the weekend.
I do that myself, though.
Okay. No, I don't. I'm not that talented.
Yeah.
Had to go to the sports clips.
Oh, I bleed. I bleed a lot. But, you know, that's just, that's to be expected when you shave this much.
Yeah, well,
of
true.
Your head.
True. I used to go just to a regular barber shop, which I've only, that's the only place I've ever gone to my whole life.
Do is you a go regular to a barber salon?
But now I go to Sport Clips because it got to the point that my barber.
Isn't that a regular barber shop, kind of? Like a chain barber shop?
Yeah, basically. So I thought maybe you went. It costs like twice as much.
I thought maybe you went and got like a pedicure while you were getting
it's not
getting
crazy.
No, I would.
No, well.
I'm not even lying. I would do that in a heartbeat. Yeah, I could
probably use one. But the barber shop I go to, it's only one guy now because apparently nobody's getting into. No one's going to barber college anymore.
Always,
so it got to be too big a deal to try to sit and wait.
I'm always afraid to go get a pedicure because I'm afraid it's going to be like that scene in Dumb and Dumber and they get out the buffer and start. I mean, my nails aren't that long, but I've just never had it done.
I've never had one.
Yeah, I haven't either.
No. The Sport Clips, you can get the MVP where you get the hot towel. That's kind of cool, but I didn't do that.
Oh, well, they always do that for me. I go over to the barber's chair in Baldwin when I'm getting really.
Isn't that where Tony Hall works?
Yeah.
He used to cut my hair over here at this place.
Because he asked me about you every time I go in there, and I'm like, yeah, he's still alive.
Yeah, Tony used to be one of the guys that cut my hair, but he left, and the guy that runs that barber shop hasn't been able to replace Tony since he left like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, he and his brother-in-law run that place in Baldwin, and I drive out there just to support them because they're good guys. And
yeah, he is a good guy.
I like him. When I get a little shaggy, I go out there and let them take care of it, and then I do the rest myself.
The beard.
Head too.
Head can get shaggy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it can get unruly. Let's not say shaggy. I don't think a bald person can get too shaggy, but it does can get a little unruly.
Well, you and I look pretty good this morning.
Why don't we do an episode of The Memo from...
No. I'm just going to say no already.
A spa while we get our nails done. Not the nails done. That doesn't sound right. While we get a manicure.
Okay, sure.
I think it'd be fantastic.
Now, if only we get that hippie Chris Kiefer over there to get a haircut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's getting a little long.
Well, we've been trying to get him to grow out his beard, too, but he won't do it.
I'm telling you, man, I saw him with a couple of days' growth a week or two ago, and it looked good.
I figured out last night what he kind of looks like when he grows it out, and that's only because I was watching Teen Wolf. He kind of looks like Teen Wolf.
Maybe that's why he won't grow it out.
Won't do
it. Little Michael J. Fox going on.
If he goes 2 days without shaving, it just becomes this big thing. He looks like a werewolf. Maybe that's what it is. That's why he won't
do it. I could get a van. We could van surf. It's one of the greatest moments in cinematic history.
I haven't seen that movie. Today,
have you seen Teen Wolf?
Episode of pop culture things Brett hasn't experienced. It's Teen Wolf. I know.
During the break, we'll be watching a scene from Teen Wolf in today's class where Derek teaches you all a little something about.
It's really, really sad.
Movie history.
I didn't realize how bad it was, all these movies I haven't seen until I started doing this podcast with Derek, because he's like seen every movie ever that's worth a dang, and there's just so many I haven't seen. Even though I grew up in the 80s, I've missed a lot of iconic 80s movies.
Apparently. Well, it's okay. I'll give you a pass. I don't know how many more passes I can give you guys, though.
Listen, I've explained this before. We didn't go to movies growing up
I know,
up
but here's the thing. Like, if you would go watch them, the passes would be rescinded. Like, I'd take them back and be like, okay, you did something about it. You just go, hadn't seen it.
Well, I don't have time to, like sit down and watch a movie these days. I just don't usually have that kind of time.
Well, you were an hour late this morning. You could have watched half of it before
you got
here.
I was doing work. That's why I was late.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get up, I roll out of bed at 6 and start working, buddy.
Okay, well, why are you an hour late?
Because I was working.
You can do the work here.
No, because I had to take kids to school and come back, and there's a time element to get the stories posted and tweets sent and Facebook updated.
So important, everybody.
And then I got caught by two trains at one time.
What's your excuse for not seeing Teen Wolf, Kiefer?
I don't know. Just
brings back bad memories.
Yeah.
It's based on my family.
When he was a teen wolf.
This is kind of awkward.
He's exposed me. Yeah.
Just never had the chance. I feel like I've probably seen a couple minutes of it flipping around on TV before, but no, just never had the chance.
We'll
never been in a place where someone say, "Hey, let's watch Teen Wolf."
Let's watch Teen Wolf too.
Yeah. Okay.
Jason Bateman.
Now there are a lot of good '80s movies I have seen. Let's not just think I'm just totally bereft of '80s pop culture experiences. Okay, I've seen E.T. I've seen Better Off Dead. I've seen Breakfast Club. You know,
Better Off Dead's obscure enough that I'll give you.
I love that movie. My kids love that movie.
$2.
If I've done nothing else good in life, I've done that. That my kids, if someone says $2, my kids automatically start quoting that movie.
$2.
Okay, although they all do agree
Chris has never seen Better Off.
They all do agree that the cartoon hamburger scene is a little bit weird.
John Cusack is my favorite actor of all time.
He's great. One of my kids hates Joan Cusack though. I don't know why. I think she's fine. She's no John Cusack, but she's good.
No, but who is other than John Cusack?
One of my favorite movies of his.
What?
Maybe a little bit underrated. Gross Point Blank.
Gross Point Blank's great.
With him and Minnie Driver.
High Fidelity.
Haven't seen that one. We're ending it on a good note, Derek. On movies I've seen, I need to go throw in High Fidelity. You right there?
Heart attack. 6-1 this week. Makes a baker's dozen.
The Bears.
We've got a full show today. In addition to Thomas Wells and Emma Kent going to be joining us. Bobby Harrison live via satellite coming from the metro area.
Sat phone.
Live
make
via
a call
two,
from anywhere.
Live via two red Solo cups with a really long string attached. How long before that doesn't work anymore?
I've never tested that theory.
You got to keep it taut.
I'm not convinced they ever worked in the first place when I tried it.
I've done it.
As a kid.
How far before cup and string doesn't work?
I'm not sure if that's exactly.
Probably whenever you get out of earshot.
Talk through a string. No, because you can whisper stuff.
It works. I don't know, man.
It's a thing.
Sure
Let's see what scientificamerican.com says. Introduction. Have you ever tried?
And how do people discover this and when? Because red Solo cups haven't been around that long.
Two large paper cups, disposable plastic cups will also work. Two paper clips or toothpicks, length of cotton string or fishing line, approximately 10 to 30 feet.
Okay.
In a quiet area.
Right. And you can probably hear them talking anywhere if they're only 30 feet
away. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
But if you whisper, you can still do it. Mm-hmm. Like, I can hear you whisper 30 feet.
All right, we'll have to experiment with that sometime.
We could test this theory on the paper cups live from the Bancorp South Arena on Wednesday at the Career Expo. Look, kids, go into journalism. You get full two red Solo cups and string.
This is the kind of high-tech stuff we're...
That's what we're all about.
Yeah.
We'll be there on Wednesday. Remember, no show on Thursday this week.
Wah. So no show
Wednesday might sound a little different.
Yeah, because there'll be a bunch of 8th graders in the background.
Going, ha ha, pointing at Brad's head.
We might even interview one or two of them. We did last year.
Get the hard hat.
Oh, yeah, we got the hard hat over there hanging on the door from last year.
Yep.
Are we going to bring Podgator?
We do. We got to bring Podgator. He's a sponsor.
True.
Sponsor. Contractually obligated.
Yeah. You start paying up to him.
I'm tied to him. When I appear, he appears. I don't come out of my trailer unless Podgator's there.
It's in the rider.
Yeah.
Do I get a dressing room? Do we get dressing rooms? They got dressing rooms at that place. I know they do. Bancorp South Arena.
You're used to full mirrors, so I'm not sure that they can accommodate that. But either way, we're going to go and get started for today. First up is going to be Emma Kent joining us. Emma Kent joining us today to talk about something that has perplexed me since last week. The story about the Oxford School District and its superintendent who suggested maybe making two separate schools for students.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well,
is this like a joke email that went around and somebody got a hold of it and they were like,
I think, I do think it got a little blown out of proportion.
Best intentions, but I wonder if it was a best intention scenario and the public didn't see it that way.
Well, and I think the high school newspaper... It broke the story and, you know, they focused on that thing that he said about the separate school or whatever, but, you know, it's not something that they've made any plans to do. It's something that they've discussed, just kind of as just hypothetical, you know, I mean, it's not like anything that's happening. And so yeah. I think people got a little worked up about it, and it's not something that's happening. So it was a little,
for the uninformed, I guess, take us back to what was actually said by the school district superintendent.
So they've been looking for ways to close their achievement gap, which, is, you know, kind of the disparity in academic achievement, I guess, between your, between any like subgroup of students. So it could be, you know, minorities and majorities, yeah, white and black, low income, wealthier kids. I mean, it's lots of different things, but, in this case, I think, you know, just from talking to him, he said, we have a lot of wealthy kids who go to our public schools, and then you also have a lower income set of students. And so it's just kind of naturally, there's a large gap in Oxford. And so basically he said, we've been looking at ways to do this. We've been talking to different schools and organizations across the country that have tried different things. And there was an organization that worked with a school in Virginia where they created a separate school for kids from low income families, because those kids typically don't do as well in school. And so they, you know, those kids, and it was apparently at this place, it was optional. And so these kids could opt in to go to this separate school where they would have like extra support, just extra things that weren't found at the other schools, to help to support those kids. And so that's, he said that that's kind of what the, you know, they looked at that model and thought about potentially doing something like that in Oxford. So the concern when he suggested that, or when he said we've looked at this model, is that you would end up, by doing that, by separating low-income kids and wealthier kids, you would create, you know, a segregated school district in, essentially.
And I think segregation is the word everybody just
kind of... Yeah, and I mean... Yeah. And
it has a very negative connotation.
Yeah. Well, and that, I mean, I guess, you know, that is a concern. I mean, obviously, that would be something to think about, and certainly I'm sure they're thinking about that now. And so I don't know, that was kind of the issue that the community raised, is that you, by doing that, would create potentially this segregated kind of environment. So that was kind of the whole issue there.
With the public controversy over the comments, did that shut it down completely? Is it still on the table?
I mean, he didn't say... When I spoke to him, the superintendent, Brian Harvey, didn't say one way or another, he didn't say we're definitely not going to do that or it's still on the table. But I would think given the backlash from the community that it probably would not be their first option.
Well, I always enjoy at reading. This point. I always enjoy reading. I tell you never to read the comments, but of course I always read
the comments.
Especially on Facebook when we post stories from Daily Journal, but also at djournal.com, anybody posts comments on an article that one of our reporters has taken the time to written, and I saw no positives in any comments from the public on this story.
Yeah, and I get that, and that makes sense. And, you know, a lot of people want your kids to grow up and to go to school with people who are different. I mean, you want to have a blended, diverse school, because that reflects the world we live in. And so I understand the concern, obviously. But I also understand them wanting to try something, you know, wanting to do something. And this one suggestion, maybe they hadn't thought all the way through it and threw it out there. And now I guess now they know that that's not something the community supports. So, but he did say that they'll be, you know, they're actively looking for all kinds of different, approaches to closing that gap, because it is a problem and, you know, that's something that they want to work on. But I think it's safe to say that probably won't be the answer.
All right. Emma, good information. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks.
Hey, be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons about 2 o'clock, or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol.
Don't forget, you can catch the Brad Locke Show each weekday morning at 7 a.m. That's Newsbreak. It's a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. You can watch them for free online, djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Also, we're on Crackle, so, you know, there's that too.
Not on Crackle.
We're not on Crackle. But you can stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format.
All right, let's go to Jackson and welcome in Bobby Harrison, Capitol Bureau Chief for the Journal. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
Doing well, sir. Got some meetings again starting this week, don't we? Some looking at tax structure and whatnot.
Yeah, they're meeting this Monday morning and looking at cutting taxes for some groups and raising them maybe for other groups, so we'll see what comes out of it.
All right, well, apparently no more budget cuts anytime soon. That's according to Governor Phil Bryant. He had a story over the weekend about that. Bobby, he seems pretty confident in that.
Yeah, he seemed pretty confident that, well, he sort of sounded like whatever problem there is, it can wait till January and let the legislature deal with it, so he won't have to be the bad guy making the cuts
right
by himself and let the legislature have some of the funds.
I got you. And then beyond that, beyond January, I mean, he says they're in good shape right now, but we've seen the revenue collections just not really rebound like people had hoped. So does he have any idea about down the line here?
Well, I mean, remember, so the budget year runs July 1st to June 30th.
Right.
So we're in the relatively early in the budget year. So when the legislature comes in January, I think what he was saying between the lines is if there's some issues, it can be sort of a joint effort of not only him, but working with the legislature to correct any budget problems. I mean, the state law gives the governor, you learn in basic civics that, the legislature appropriates money, but the state law gives the governor the authority to make cuts when the revenue does not come in to pay for what the legislature appropriates, cuts within certain parameters. And so, but I think what he was saying is he made some cuts and that they can get by till January when the legislature comes in and they're going to make, I think everybody recognizes that they're going to make some changes. Including to the law that took money from special funds that was
right.
Fees and stuff that were designated for specific agencies and put it in the general fund for just general distribution. That law is not generating as much money as they had hoped because the Attorney General said they didn't write it right, construct it right. So I think they're going to make some changes there for sure. And then the legislature may also have to make some cuts or find some more money to keep from making those cuts.
All right, switching gears a little bit to the education front, and we've talked before about these special needs vouchers students can take advantage of in Mississippi, and you had a story Sunday that of the 175 students who were awarded these vouchers this current academic year, don't know how many actually went to private school on these vouchers, Bobby. Nobody seems to know this. Why does no one know this?
Well, I thought that was interesting. And, the first year they did, the law was created, was passed in 2015. You had to be in the public school to get this voucher. If you were a special education student in the public schools,
yeah.
You could get this voucher to go to a private school. If you were not satisfied with the public school, it would pay $6,500.
Yeah.
But they didn't fill all their slots, so they expanded the law this past session, the 2016 session. What they did is you have to have what you call an individualized education program to get the voucher, which is every special education student, special needs student has an IEP.
Yeah.
But they expanded the program to say that you could, just as long as you got the IEP within the past 5 years, you could be eligible for the voucher. Now, just an example, somebody could have entered the first grade or kindergarten and needed speech therapy, so they would have had an IEP. And, what happens oftentimes by the first, second grade, the speech issues have been cleared up.
Yeah.
And so they're not in they're not in special education any longer, if you will. But they should have the IEP from within 5 years, so they could be at a private school already, and their parents paying the money to go to private school, and yet they get the voucher to help pay for the private education the next year. Now, some people say this is okay, other people say it's not okay. My story didn't make a judgment on that. I just want to point out that that we don't know.
Yeah, right.
Which is kind of a big deal, I think. This is you know, the biggest voucher program in the state. Some people think voucher programs are good. Other people think they're not good at taking money away from public schools. So, I mean, I think you can make the case that at least you need to have all the facts as you pass programs like this.
All right. Very interesting indeed. All right, Bobby, appreciate your time. Y'all can read Bobby's work in the Journal and at djournal.com. Thank you, sir.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Hey, we've got a couple of sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal that you need to check out. We've got Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast with myself, Gene Phelps, and Blake Morgan. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live around 11 a.m. at djournal.com, and then the podcast version drops later that day. Listen to it for free in iTunes. Your podcast apps are at preprally.djournal.com. And for you Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast with Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry. They have new episodes each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to that for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Students at Plantersville and Tupelo Middle Schools soon will be writing poetry about their communities and sharing it with the public. The Lee County Library was awarded a $4,500 grant from the Mississippi Arts Commission to create a mural depicting life in Lee County to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the library. Local artist Charlie Buckley will work with students in the Tupelo and Lee County Public School Districts to create the mural and explore thoughts about their home communities. As part of the grant partnership, students at the two schools will also be writing poetry in their classrooms. The library will unveil the mural on November 1st, and selected students will read their original poem for attendees and community leaders.
The Shoe Doctor is trying to collect and deliver 5,000 pairs of shoes to help people in South Louisiana. Daryl Doc Cousins said he particularly wants to help those who live around the Baton Rouge area, where massive flooding recently occurred. He wants to fill a 28-foot trailer with gently worn shoes and deliver them to Louisiana. He also is collecting needed items like toothbrushes, toothpaste, and toilet paper. The Shoe Doctor is located at 705 West Main Street in the building with Stone's Jewelry at Crosstown. Cousin will begin his drive on Saturday and continue it through Thanksgiving. He hopes to deliver the truck before Christmas. In 2009, he collected and delivered about 4,000 pairs of shoes for the underprivileged in New Orleans. For more information, call Cousin at 662-523-7795.
Amory's Hospital is being sold to a small Tennessee-based not-for-profit health system that's focused on rural health care. Merit Health Gilmore Memorial announced Thursday a proposed acquisition by Cure A Health, which is headquartered outside Knoxville. It is one of four hospitals being sold to Cure A Health by Community Health Systems. The purchase agreement includes a commitment from Cure A to offer employment to all active employees in good standing when the transaction is complete. All physicians in good standing on the medical staff will retain their privileges. The transaction is expected to be complete in the fourth quarter of this year. Cure A currently owns three Alabama hospitals in Russellville, Haleyville, and Winfield. The concept of the not-for-profit company focused on rural health care was developed in 2014 by Steve Clapp, the current president and chief executive officer of Cure A.
Two Tupelo High School students have been recognized as National Merit Scholarship semifinalists. Davis Arthur and William Bradford are among 16,000 semifinalists, of which about 15,000 will go on to become finalists. The National Merit Scholarship Program is a national competition for recognition and scholarship, and becoming a finalist could help Arthur and Bradford achieve their goals after high school. Arthur plans to major in either physics or math. He's applying to Columbia University and Auburn University. Bradford wants to study genetics at either the University of Mississippi or Auburn. Other National Merit semifinalists in Northeast Mississippi include Oxford homeschool student Daniel Kelly, Oxford High School's Neaton Ancassetti, Szechuan Sean Chow and Rebecca Hardy, and Corinth High School's Daniel Villaflor.
Efforts to improve drainage in the Sharon Hills subdivision are almost done. City of Tupelo engineer John Crawley said the last leg of the work involves some drainage pipes on Valley Circle that may be completed this week. Crawley said the work should greatly alleviate flooding problems in the neighborhood. He said water was backing into the street and that it now will be redirected into a new drainage system. Most of the drainage work involved two detention ponds located near the neighborhood.
Thomas Wells joining us on this Monday. Excuse me, I left out a word there. I don't know what you would be joining if it wasn't us.
That'd be a good question.
You're in focus for today. You spent some time at the Boys and Girls Clubs of North Mississippi, at the Haven Acres location.
Yes.
How many kids? I mean, it's just overrun with the place.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because I got there like 3:15 in the afternoon before
they started arriving, and right. I was walking through, kind of scoping out what I was going to do, and they started matriculating in, and then, which I can't spell matriculating, so don't even ask.
That's fine.
And so
you don't have to spell it to say it. I don't think
that's
true.
That's a good thing. So I'm sitting there, and you know, 20 kids come in, like, oh, this is kind of cool, you know. And we've been in there a lot for other stories, and then within 20 minutes, I turned around, and the place was packed.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were trying to play basketball in the gym, and they were playing basketball, and they were playing over-the-top football while they were shooting basketball.
Wow.
And it was just, it was crazy.
It's a big place.
It is a big place.
But once you get a lot of kids in there, it's no longer
a big
place.
You get a couple hundred kids in there, and it gets pretty tight pretty quick.
I went to, when ECEC there was king, I went there for fifth and sixth grade, and it was just always, I mean, just packed in the afternoons.
Oh, absolutely. It's amazing how many kids are actually served by that.
Yeah, it's an amazing program.
And then on top of it, I mean, I wish, you know, I kind of wish my kids had gone to it because, one, it's a great after-school program mm-hmm. where they kind of network and they put their phones down for 3 hours.
Yeah, which is huge.
Yes.
Not something we dealt with when I was in fifth or sixth grade.
We didn't have that problem. But they put the phones down for 3 or 4 hours and they play and they actually communicate and, you know, socially interact, which is a dying thing with kids nowadays. All they do is text. I mean, my son texts my wife literally the next room over because he just refuses to get up and walk out and talk to her. It's all text messaging throughout the house.
I mean, we say that, but we do this out here.
We do
in the
building,
room,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of just standing up and shouting over the cubicle wall. What are some of the programs there that they do, other than you were talking about basketball, over-the-top football? I mean,
yeah. And then
also chances to work on homework and
absolutely.
Stuff as well.
They have Kindles where you can sit down and read books and so you can work on your was it advanced reading or mm-hmm. whatever for the school?
AR,
and then you can have some tutors there if you need some help with your after school work. And then they actually have just like worksheets where you can improve on your schoolwork just on your own. If you're, you know, you feel that you're behind in math or reading or science or whatever, you can work on your own to kind of tutor yourself. So, and they break them out into pods, you know, and so you rotate through, spend each time, so that way one room doesn't just get overwhelmed at one time with all the kids.
I was glad to see you did this. William Moore, of course, does a great job reporting on Boys and Girls Clubs North Mississippi under his beat, but I like always getting this back out there for people to.
Oh, yeah.
Those are reminders.
And they even
of the
provided snacks,
there.
Which was kind of cool.
Did you get a snack?
No, I didn't get a snack.
No.
I didn't get a snack. I didn't qualify. I was too old.
Oh. You just play basketball for a
exactly,
few minutes.
Exactly. Yeah.
One.
It was really neat. They gave them, you know, snacks and drinks and stuff. And so, I mean, you know, and then parents come by at 5, 6 o'clock when they get off work, pick them up, or they walk home because it's just right across the street from the Haven Acres neighborhood. So
it takes so much money to keep that place
I can't imagine.
I mean, that's why they have the huge Dance Like the Stars every year.
I can't imagine the fundraising it has to go to just to keep the power turned on in a building like that because it was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's a really good program. It's a really good thing for the kids. And the long-term benefits far outweigh, you know, the cost.
Absolutely. Thomas, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right, that's it for another fine episode of The Memo.
You're so glad you don't have to look at me anymore today.
I won't? I might just go over and walk over to Emma Kent's cubicle. And
I believe Emma Kent would probably have some choice words for you if you did.
Not
that.
Emma, she's too nice.
Yeah. She doesn't like you in her cubicle.
Sure she does. By the way, we should not end the show before noting that Chris Kiefer's San Francisco Giants made the playoffs. My St. Louis Cardinals did not. So had the Cardinals won yesterday
awkward.
and had the Western Division champion Dodgers beaten the Giants, as they should have, we'd have a tie for that second wild card spot, and they'd be playing a playoff
today.
Game, the Cardinals and Giants today, and then the winner would get the Mets for the other one playoff.
Which
one game playoff game. At least it didn't. I really wanted to see that three-way tie because Kiefer was explaining how a three-way wild card tie would have worked, and it was very confusing. But it would have been really fascinating to see that play out. It
would have been two games just to get to the elimination wild card game.
Yeah. So it would have been crazy. But as it is, it's going to be the Giants and the Mets on Wednesday. The winner,
go Giants.
Winner gets the Cubs. The
Cubs.
And good luck against them. And then I thought something else that was funny, the Tigers had a chance to sneak in the wild card, and they lost to the Braves.
Mm-hmm.
They lost the last two games of the season to the Braves. Newsflash, the Braves are terrible this year. They did have like a 7-game winning streak not long ago. They've been playing better at the end of the season. And they closed out the Ted Turner Field because they're moving inexplicably across town to another stadium, even though this one's like only 20 years old.
96 Olympics.
Yeah. Aren't they also the Falcons moving out of the Georgia Dome that isn't that old either?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's probably a couple of years before. That's probably like 93, 94.
It's a perfectly fine facility. Both of them are perfectly fine facilities.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what
Georgia Dome's used for a lot of different things, too.
Atlanta's stupid. Anyway, Oh, I said anyway. Almost made it through the whole show, Derek.
$5.
Almost made it.
$5.
But yeah, so the Braves. You're
up to like $25.
The Braves knocked the Tigers out of the playoffs yesterday by closing the TED with a win. So there you go, your baseball update for this Monday. Now it's on to the playoffs. Love the playoffs. Love October baseball, Chris. It's my favorite thing.
Yeah, especially for, well, I don't mean this rubbing it in, but especially for me when the Giants were in it in the playoffs.
It's an even numbered year.
It's also fun. we'll see. They're finally playing well again. They hadn't been playing well in a while. But I guess I also do enjoy it a lot when the Giants aren't there and there's no pressure and no anxiety, and I can just sit back and my blood pressure is a lot better.
Yeah. I was watching that Giants-Dodgers game, switching back and forth between the Cardinals, and I should also note that that was the last game by Vin Scully, the long-time Dodgers broadcaster. He started in 1950 when they were still in Brooklyn. Yeah. Did it for 67 seasons, I guess.
Best, too.
And he's my favorite all-time broadcaster. And, of course, I do some broadcast-type stuff. I'm a much better writer, I think, than broadcaster. But growing up, I'd always kind of like do play-by-play in my head. And just Vin Scully was like one of those guys that just was the soundtrack of my youth, because he used to do the NBC Game of the Week on Saturdays with Joe Garagiola, and he did a lot of the playoff games, like the Kirk Gibson game. Remember him calling that one?
The Buckner, 86.
And then Bill Buckner.
World Series game.
Yeah, a lot of those big games. And somebody that threw a no-hitter for the Tigers, I don't remember if it was Jack Morris, but just his call was like, and then there were none.
Yeah.
In that Vin Scully voice.
Yeah.
Just after the final out. So definitely going to miss him, but he's 88 now and still sounds great, by the way. He could keep doing it if he wanted to, but
he's good. Just such a great storyteller, and it was
doing those broadcasts solo, it was like nobody does anymore. He does them for TV. I had been doing them for TV. Used to be do radio as well, but anyway, one of my heroes. Sad to see him go, but I'm sure y'all are sad to see us go. Aren't they, Derek?
Oh, those people listening?
Yes.
They're excited.
If there's anyone left listening, after we went on our little baseball rant there.
No more Brad Locke until tomorrow.
Till Wednesday.
I'm sure you'll do something tomorrow.
Yeah.
Newsbreak.
I'll do something.
Capital View
today. Yeah, Capital View today. Prepper Alley on Wednesday. All kinds of stuff. Again, Wednesday we'll be at the Bancorp South Arena. Imagine the possibilities. That's Career Expo.
Imagine them.
Imagine us there.
I might find another career finally. Get away from Brad. I want to work at NASA. Just go right along.
You love me.
Yeah.
I know you do.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see y'all.
Stockholm Syndrome.
What? We'll see y'all next time.